We are entering the last week of Red Letters. Has anybody enjoyed Red Letters? We've been talking about the words of Jesus and how they relate to our life. And whenever you can't find something to read in the Word of God, always turn to the Red Letters. And Jesus said in John chapter 6 that my words are what? Spirit and life. That when you read the words of Jesus, it's almost like the Bible reads you. And so today I want to talk about the Spirit of God and what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, everything we've talked about following Jesus. We've talked about what Jesus said about doubt and having faith. What Jesus said about lost sheep, that it's our call as believers to bring lost sheep back home, lost sons and daughters, lost friends. God is looking for lost people and to bring them home. And then we talked about the kingdom of God, how we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Last week we talked about being humble. To be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be humble. And so this week I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, because the only way we can do any of that stuff is by the Holy Spirit. And how many here today will be just honest enough to raise your hand and admit that you need help in being a good Christian? All right, I got my hand up. You know, it's like we talked about humility on Sunday, and then someone cuts you off in traffic, and it's like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're going to go to hell if you keep driving like that. Some good Christian cussing, in other words. You know what I'm saying? And so we need help to be the type of people that Jesus wants us to be. And he gives us help by the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And in John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to take off and ascend into heaven and to be glorified. And we don't have time to talk about the theological importance of all that. But his disciples, they're asking questions because Jesus has given hints about what's about to happen. And they're getting a little bit nervous because they had grown attached to him, and they had, been comforted by his presence, and he had kind of been carrying them through this process. And so they're starting to ask questions like, okay, what's going to happen now that he is going to leave? And so Jesus is trying to tell them what to expect. And in John chapter 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's just stop right there. That's a whole lot more difficult than we want to admit, isn't it? That keeping all of God's commandments is almost impossible. And here's the thing. I don't think Jesus is saying, well, if you love me, you're going to keep every one of them and you're going to be perfect. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that if you love me, I'm going to help you keep my commandments. And here's what I really want to stress today, is that it's all about relationship with Jesus. Right? That we're not trying to have some type of self-effort, self-help religion here. That you have to love Jesus. That is the most important thing. And if you fall in love with him, he's going to help you. If you love him for who he is, and we're not about, you know, following some type of really complicated religion, although there are a lot of commandments, and we need help to follow those commandments, and we need to follow those commandments. But it all starts with love. We have to love God. If you don't love God and you do all this stuff, it really, you're wasting your time. You have to love Jesus. That has to be the most important thing in your life. I wonder if somebody agrees with that today. Don't leave me hanging. You have to fall in love with him. It's about relationship. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And here's what Jesus is saying, is that, guys, although I'm physically leaving, I'm going to come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be with you. And the word for helper there is the Greek word parakletos. Everybody say parakletos. There, you know Greek. Congratulations. You didn't know you're going to get a free Greek class for dummies today, did you? There you go. So parakletos, and that word can be, by the way, I'm not calling everybody dummies, all right? Just, you know what I mean. And so that word parakletos, it can be translated helper. It can be different people think that advocate's a more accurate translation. Some people would say comforter. All of those concepts are true because sometimes when you translate the Greek into English, there's not a perfect English word. But all those concepts are true. And for me, I think helper is probably the best. Because as we talked about, if we're going to do this thing, we need help. Right? If we're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover and we're dependent upon ourselves, is anybody going to get healed? If we're trying to help the poor, if we're trying to show love to our enemies, and if we're trying to do everything that God has called us to do and we're doing it on our own, are we going to be able to do it? No, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. And that word parakletos, it means to come alongside and help. You see, why I'm speaking right now, I can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I believe right now, it's like I got Jesus right here with his hand on my shoulder saying, I'm behind you. I got your back. And when you leave this place this week, you know, it's easy to love God and to do everything in this environment, you know, when you got hundreds of people around you. But this week, when you walk out of this door and you're in your workplace or you're around friends, you're going to need that helper to be what God's called you to be. And I want to tell you, he's right beside you. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is with us. How are we going to change our community? The Holy Spirit. Amen? How are we going to love people? The Holy Spirit. How are we going to witness to people? The Holy Spirit. How are we going to help change our families? The Holy Spirit. It's not on you. You don't have to do it all. We believe that we have the invisible but very, very real presence of God moving in us and in our church, and it's the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Ghost church. Does anybody want the Holy Ghost? Does anybody want the Holy Spirit in your life? All right, so I want to give you kind of five things that the Holy Spirit does, and he does more than five things, but these are kind of the big five I came up with. And that number one, he's a helper. He helps us. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. And here's what, we have to be careful that we don't resist the Holy Spirit. Because if we resist the Holy Spirit, you know who we're hurting? We're hurting ourselves. And we're going to find out how we allow the Holy Spirit to help us. And he says, Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. How do we see Jesus today? I've seen him today through the power of the Holy Spirit moving in this room. I see him touching and changing lives. I see him at work in my life. And he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. In other words, we're not following some theory today. And that's the problem with a lot of Christians, is that they follow a theory. They're following a philosophy that's not altogether bad. But come Monday, that doesn't help you. How many knows that, you know, we talk about going to different spiritual levels. And the problem with me is that I can be on level 10 on Sunday. And then Monday morning, like I can crash to negative 2. You know, I'm not sure that Mondays are of God. I'm not sure. I think Satan may have created that day. I'm kidding. But when life becomes hard, a philosophy isn't going to carry you through. You need the real presence of God in your life in the form of the Holy Ghost. When you're facing the biggest trial in your life and your family's facing the biggest trial in your life and your family's depending on your prayers, you don't need some philosophy. You need to let the Holy Spirit pray through you and to fuel you through, and so that you can do what God's called you to do, and you can lift that family out in prayer. Why? The power of the Holy Spirit. He's a helper, and he's wanting to help our church. He's wanting to help you. We just have to let him do it. Number two, he's a teacher. In John chapter 14, Jesus continues, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Then John chapter 16, which by the way, in your free time this week, if you want to know more about what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, read John 14, 15, and 16. Those three chapters will kind of fill in a lot of blanks. But he says in John chapter 16, he says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into what? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." And this happens in another way, a number of ways. But the Holy Spirit will help you read the Word of God. It will bring truth to the surface. Every time you read God's Word, you pray, "Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would show me from your Word what's wrong with my life, what about me needs to change, what about you I need to know." And if you do that, God will show you. And another thing that a teacher, he does through teaching us is that he will give us words of wisdom. He will give us direction. He will tell you things about important life decisions. I really believe that. Now, it may not be what color of car to get. It may not be, you know, when you're at McDonald's, if you should get a number three or a number four. God gave us a brain. We can make those decisions. Everybody say amen. But if it comes to important life decisions, God will confirm things to you. I've had dreams. I've had visions. And I'm not one of those people that have, you know, like a really clear dream once a week. But there's been important times in my life where I had a vivid dream, which I know without a doubt was from God. And I believe that was through the Holy Spirit. God will use you to give direction to other people. Does anybody want that? Does anybody want to be able to, when somebody in your life needs direction, somebody in your life needs help, the Holy Spirit can speak to you and you can say, "You know what? I think God has told me to tell you this." That's how we become the hands and feet of Jesus. That's how we let the Holy Spirit lead us. So he's a teacher. Number three, he's a comforter. In the next verse, in John chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, because I believe that the Holy Spirit's alongside of me, I don't have anything to be afraid about. Let me ask you this. If Jesus were literally, physically beside you, would you be afraid of anything that came in your life? The answer should be no. If you really have faith, right? Well, I want to tell you, he is beside you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter what doctor's report you get. It doesn't matter what people around you are doing. It doesn't matter what the president's doing or some guy in North Korea is doing. I got the Holy Spirit beside me. That's why we shouldn't be afraid to witness to other people and open our mouth and share the good news of the gospel. Why? The Holy Spirit, he's going to be a teacher. He's going to give me the words, and he's alongside me. It's not really about me anyway. That God, I have confidence God's going to use me. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit. It's not about me anyway. It's not about what I can do. So he's a comforter. He gives us peace. And in John chapter 16, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it's your advantage that I go away." Wow, think about that. Jesus said, "Hey guys, what you don't know yet is that it's better for me to physically leave you. And here's the reason why. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." In other words, if I don't ascend into heaven, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. "But if I go, I will send him to you." What's Jesus saying? Do you think that these disciples got a little bit needy and dependent upon Jesus? I bet they did. If we could see Jesus every day, and I could just physically see Jesus every day, be like, "Hey, Jesus, here's my wish list. Hey, Jesus, this guy over here has got a demon. Go do your thing. Hey, Jesus, this person over here has cancer. Wink, wink, nod, nod, get to work. And so I bet those guys probably got dependent upon him and a little bit lazy. So what Jesus says, he says, I'm going to take off and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit in my name. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to take these guys out of their box. Why? Because God can do more through the Holy Spirit worldwide than he can in the physical limitation that Jesus had of just being in one place. Even though he was God, physically he was limited to space. Does that make sense? But through the Holy Spirit, this week, hundreds of us can leave these doors and we can take Jesus with us and he can get more done in the earth. So that's why Jesus said, hey guys, it's to your advantage. I'm still going to be with you. I'm just not going to be physically there, but I will be with you through the Holy Spirit. And so this week, we're going to take Jesus with us everywhere we go. And we're going to minister. And we're going to do God's work. Number four, he brings conviction. John chapter 16, verse 8. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So he brings conviction, he brings righteousness, and he brings judgment. Has anybody ever felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit? I want to tell you, that's not a bad thing. To the unbeliever, it brings conviction in that you don't have faith. To the believer, it brings conviction when you believe in God, you're following Jesus, but you're not walking your talk, or you do something and you feel this little tingling inside that says, that's not of me. That's not right. That's the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, that's probably the biggest help he gives, one of the biggest helps he gives us, because we all need that. We never, ever get to a point in our journey with Christ where we don't need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I have a friend who grew up in the church, grew up walking with God, and then he fell away from God, got to hanging around with the wrong people, and he was in a movie theater years ago. And years ago, I won't give the name of the movie, but there was a movie that was made where this person went undercover to a Pentecostal camp meeting and went up to get prayed for, and the nature of the movie was making fun of what was happening, and it was very sacrilegious. And he was watching this movie, and I think he was with his girlfriend, and that scene came on, and he said, I felt so convicted, I felt so terrible that I was watching this blasphemy that was taking place. By the way, Jesus said, the only forgivable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And basically what that is when the Holy Spirit tries to tell you something and you continue to say no, or you say you attribute the works of God to Satan, or you make work a light of the works of God. All of those things are part of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he saw this blasphemy taking place in this movie. And he said the conviction was so strong. He said, I got up. I left the theater. I didn't even talk to the people I was with. He said, I immediately repented, and I never went back to that lifestyle. He said, the very next week, I went to church, and I changed everything. He said, it was because the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong in my life. And I want to tell you, you might be here today, and you might not understand everything that's going on. You may not understand all the language and, you know, why people are doing different things. But if you feel like God is tugging on you, if you feel like God is saying, hey, I love you, if you feel like God is saying, this is true, if you feel like God's saying, hey, you need to change some things about your life, that's the Holy Spirit. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That means God is talking to you. Does anybody want God to talk to you? Does anybody want God to change you? Amen. So the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. He says he does it by righteousness, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is perfect. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, he brings the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And how many knows that none of us stand up to that righteousness? And so that conviction comes from the righteousness of Jesus Christ and to make us more like Jesus. Amen. So number five, the fifth thing the Holy Spirit does is he gives us power. In Acts 1:8, Jesus, one of the last things he told his disciples before he ascended was, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit helps us to give witness to the power of Jesus Christ. And that comes through our words, vocally telling other people. It comes through our actions. The Holy Spirit supernaturally helping us to do supernatural things that testify to the power of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, one of the reasons why we believe in supernatural healing and miracles isn't so we can see cool tricks happen, right? The reason we believe in that thing is those things is that we believe that Jesus is still alive. We believe that he is still here through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that signs will follow, that we will see the power of God in our services. Anybody want to see that? Why? Because we believe that Jesus is here. And those things testify to his power. And so he empowers us to be witnesses of him to other people. And I want to ask you, when's the last time you witnessed? When's the last time you opened your mouth and told somebody, "Hey, I know you have a lot of problems, but I have a God that's bigger than your problem"? When's the last time you opened your mouth and say, "Hey, I know that you're in a bad place in your life. I know that your life isn't where you thought it would be, but I have a God that forgives. I have a God who will change everything about your life." And I want to tell you, being filled with the Holy Spirit is more about just speaking in tongues. It's also about being witnesses. It's also about bringing people to Christ. It's about not being ashamed and well, I'm just kind of shy, and I don't like to talk to people. Well, guess what? That's why the Holy Spirit's with you. That's why the Holy Spirit's inside of you, to help you. And I'm not saying every one of us has to go outside with a bullhorn on the street corner and shout at people. Matter of fact, don't do that. That turns more people away than it helps. But if you would just live your life, and you will just let God speak through you, and let God reach to people through you, I want to tell you, you can be a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I want to talk today, in closing, I want to tell us and I want to teach today on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit can be on you, but to be filled is to be completely possessed by him. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it takes on a new dimension of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't have room for anything else. It's like God burns out and destroys anything else in our life, and we become totally possessed with his presence. And you can see it in our lives. We can see a change in our life. And so I want to give us today 5 steps on how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, you don't have to be some type of super Christian. It's not just for a select few, like spiritual ninjas, right? It's for everybody. The Holy Spirit's for you. God wants to give you this gift. And the first way that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this, is that you need to repent and you need to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. You need to repent and say, "God, I want to live life your way." You need to make him Lord of your life. You need to make a decision. I'm following Jesus. I'm done living life my way. I want to be like him. And you need to ask God, "Forgive me of the sin in my life." And I want to tell you that we all need to do that. Every one of us need to repent. Every one of us need to ask God to reveal things in our life that aren't right. And we need to conform our life to the Word of God. Not your opinion, not culture's opinion, not Oprah's opinion. What is God's words? What does God's word say? And then we need to apply those principles in our life. Why? Because there's life in that. There's truth in that. and it's for our good. And so the first thing you need to do is repent. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people heard what was going on. And so other people heard this and they asked Peter, they asked the other disciples, apostles, they said, what's going on here? And Peter preached a sermon and basically told them about Jesus and about how he was the Messiah. And we crucified him. We didn't accept him. And as he began to preach this, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says this. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? See there it says that they were cut to the heart. You know what that is? That's conviction. When the preacher's preaching and it almost feels like you have a bullseye right here on your chest, that's conviction. And that's God's love. That's God reaching for you. And I believe there's somebody here today, if you're honest with yourself, as I'm speaking these words, it's not because I'm so eloquent. I'm just giving you the word of God. And the word of God has power. And if you feel conviction in your heart, here's what I've found about conviction. The best thing to do is just give in. The best thing to do is just surrender. Don't fight it. Why? Because that is God reaching for you. And so when we repent, we say, God, help me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't do this. I need help. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I need a fresh start. I want to make you boss of my life. You get the final word from here on out. And that's what it means to repent and to believe in Jesus. And then Peter followed up in the next verse in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When they asked, what do we do? He said, repent. There's that word again. Turn around. Change your life. Turn towards God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we're going to do that for three or four people here at the end of service. Isn't that great? When we get baptized, God does, it's not the water, it's our faith on display, and that's the vehicle which God gave us to display our faith, and he washes us. Boy, wouldn't it be great if God could take our spiritual rap sheet and just shred it in half. I want to tell you, he can do that. You just got to surrender. Then he says this, and you shall receive the what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's like, take it. Here, it's yours. You can have it. And so we repent and we make Jesus Lord. If we've never been baptized, we get baptized in his name. Second thing that we do to receive the Holy Spirit is you need to believe that it's for you. You need to believe that God has a gift with your name on it. He's been waiting to give it to you your whole life. You just got to ask for it. Verse 39, Peter says, for this promise is to you. Everybody say, this promise is for me. And to your children. Everybody say, it's for my kids. And to those who are far off. Everybody say, it's for my grandkids. It's for my great-grandkids. God didn't say, okay, it's been a couple hundred years since the Holy Spirit's poured out. I think enough people have it. No more people receiving. Did God do that? No, he says it's for whoever wants it. As many as the Lord calls to himself. And I want to tell you, if you're here today, God's calling you. If you're here today, God loves you. He wants you to have his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with his presence. Does anybody believe that today? That's why this is important. If you don't believe it's for you, if you believe it's just for some super spiritual group of people and you're not a part of that, you're not going to receive. You have to believe it's for you. Number three, desire for more of God. Desire for more of God. When you seek the Holy Spirit, and I want to make this very clear, You don't seek tongues. You don't seek other signs. You're seeking God. And the signs just follow the gift. Does that make sense? In other words, when you get a gift at Christmas time, you're not asking to jump up and down, right? It's just when you open up that gift, that's kind of the natural reaction, right? You get happy. And so when you seek the Holy Spirit, you want to seek more of God. Say, God, I want more of you. I want more of your presence in my life. I want everything that you have for me. I want you to completely fill me. There's a verse in the Bible that says, seek me with your whole heart, and then you will find me. Seek God with everything that you have. Go all in your pursuit of God. Don't be satisfied with 50% of God. Say, God, I want all of you. I want everything that you have for me. And Jesus said in John chapter 7, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anybody here is today thirsty, if you're unsatisfied with your life, if you're unsatisfied inside, you've come to the right place. There's a free drink here today. And we don't demand you to be perfect. We're not demanding that you have to jump through 5 or 6 hoops before we let you come drink. You can come drink of the well just as you are today. Amen? And he says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who had believed on him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, but Jesus, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So in other words, Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come drink. And it's going to be like a river of living water inside of you. Of life. And here's the powerful thing about that. Is that when God fills us with his Holy Spirit, he fills us so we can give out. We're rivers. We take so we can give. We get healed so we can heal. The reason we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just so we can say, well, God's touched my life. God's changed my life. God saved you so you can go be a river to somebody else. So you can go lay hands and you can pray with somebody else. You can be that river for somebody was where you were one time. So that God can change lives all around you. And so and the third thing we do is we desire for more of God. You have to desire everything that God has for you. Number 4. Ask for God to give you the Holy Spirit. Ask for God to fill you with this Holy Spirit. You have to ask for it. You see, God has a gift, but he doesn't force it. You have to ask for him. You have to ask for his Holy Spirit because he's a gentleman. And if you resist him and you don't want what he has for you, he's not going to force it upon you. Luke chapter 13, or Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus says, if you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How many believe that we serve a good God? How many believe that Jesus is a good God? That he's a good shepherd. And if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give it to you. He's going to fill you. But you must ask. And maybe you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's because you've never asked. Maybe you didn't know to ask. Well, that's why we're here today. God's giving you revelation. So what you do is you just lift up your hands and say, God, I want you, and I want you to fill me with your Spirit. I want you to completely change me. And 5 is allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You see, he will fill you, and then he will speak through you. and just continue to seek after him. Go all in. Now, maybe today you won't speak in tongues. That doesn't mean God isn't doing something in your life. Amen? That means that some of the signs just haven't manifested yet. But in time, if you allow God to have his way in your life, his word says you will speak with new tongues. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, in verse 4 it says, and they were all what? Filled. All of them were filled. All of the believers were filled. And they were filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I just want to encourage you today. You don't have to be proficient in tongues to be filled. If you just begin to speak and it's something you don't understand and you just feel like it's your spirit connecting with God, it doesn't have to sound like perfect Greek, Spanish, or Russian. It's a spiritual language that God puts in your heart. And I just want to ask you that you be open. Just be open. Be open to the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Be open to letting him have your way in your life. The Holy Spirit, he's not going to speak for you, but he will speak through you. And so you have to do the speaking. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. And if it sounds strange, well, guess what? It's supposed to sound strange because it's not your natural language. But God wants to give you a heavenly language. And here's what happens. It's not about being weird. It's not about we do cooler stuff than the next church. It's about our spirit connecting with God. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we begin to speak with other tongues, our spirit prays in ways that our natural mind can't. And we bypass this brain and we have a direct connection to God. And God wants to give you a supernatural prayer language. He wants you to worship him in ways that go beyond your natural understanding. He wants you to pray in your prayer language every day. Why? Because the Bible says that when we pray in our prayer language, we build ourselves up. Amen. Why don't we stand all over this place today? And here's what we're going to do. How many here today want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How many here today want everything that God has for you? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to lift up our hands all over this place. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want you to lift up your hands right now. And I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to say, Father, say it loud. Say, Father, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, take over my life. In the name of Jesus, I receive this gift. It's for me. It's for my family. I want everything you have for me today, Jesus. In Jesus' name,